and our God is good. What a great and wonderful time of praise to remember beautiful words about our Lord and all that He is doing for us. Today we are in part four of our series, It's Right for Me to Feel This Way, and we're going to wrap that series up. And next week we are starting with a series that will last around 8 weeks called Cries from the Cross. And we're going to look at what Jesus said while He hung there on the world's behalf and just what those last words really do mean to you and I and to the rest of the world. But this morning, I want to finish strong with It's Right for Me to Feel This Way. Coming from Philippians 1, verse 7, where Paul begins to tell the Philippian Christians, there are things in regards to your faith and your walk with the Lord that it is absolutely right, absolutely necessary for you to feel this way about. There are some pillar of truths that Christians embrace. And this morning in part four, we look at another pillar of truth for our Christian life. I am excited that I see the person sitting here, and I'm going to share something about them, but they don't know it. I like reading their Facebook posts because they're always so funny the way they say things, but it really gets to the point. And this morning, what they said on Facebook in regards to something they had done was like, the Lord just gave me what I needed in the right time for this lesson. But the idea this morning that I want to start off with you is saying, the Bible talks about a race that Christians are in. There is a Christian race, and it is this metaphor that is used in Scripture to describe the life we live in relationship to God, and it's a daily life that we live. And that it is hard, it is strenuous, and it takes discipline and commitment and long suffering. Brothers and sisters, if you belong to the Lord, you are in a spiritual race. Well, Sister Aubrey Van Antwerp posted this on Facebook. Went for a walk run for the first time in forever. And now I hate myself. That just says it. It says what we all feel, you know, that this is not easy physically to do these things. Because it's strenuous. It takes energy. It makes the body sore. Things that you didn't know ache all over. I went for a walk run for the first time in forever, and now I hate myself. That's the physical race. That's the physical competition. But I want to share a couple of other interesting bits about running. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Therefore, Paul says, I don't run like someone running aimlessly. In other words, we run the race with purpose. We run the race with the idea in mind that we're going to cross that finish line to receive the prize, the very prize that our worship team sung about this morning. If you look up at this picture, this is a picture from 2009. The man out front that's looking at the camera while he's ahead of everybody else, that who is straining and leaning forward, is Usain Bolt. He's in Berlin, and he breaks the 100-meter world record and becomes the fastest man in 9.58 seconds, and that's pretty impressive. But here's the one that impresses me most, and I think is the picture of our running with the Lord. This man, Dean Karnes, in 2005, at the age of 52, he ran 350 miles nonstop, not stopping to sleep, not stopping to eat, not stopping to drink. They gave him food and handed him water and power drinks as he ran. But he ran for 3 days and 6 or 7 hours without stopping. And that is the picture of running our race with perseverance. We are in a race, and Paul is going to talk about the race and begins to use subtly this metaphor that is used throughout the New Testament. He said last week, I want to know Christ. Yes, I want to know the power of His resurrection. I want to know the participation or the sharing in His sufferings and becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. I really want us to look at verse 11 as we kick off with this idea and this metaphor of running, and that you and I, Christians, are in a race, and they need to understand they are in a race, and they need to understand it's an endurance race, one of perseverance. We don't stop. Well, when you look at verse 11, it's very easy to think, well, is Paul questioning whether or not that he might possibly not have or receive the resurrection? And he's not doing that. This word attain, as I said last week, is you've been given something. Now you are striving to live up to it. He talks about that in chapter 1 when he says, conduct your lives in a manner that's worthy of the gospel. You've been saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ. You are partners in the gospel. The gospel is being advanced through you by the will of God. You know, you've got something. Now conduct yourselves in a way that reflects what you have. And here he is saying, attaining to, living up to what you have. But it's a deeper word than that. It is a word that means to come to or to arrive in terms of crossing a finish line. He says, and so somehow I want to live up to what God has given me because I want to cross that finish line. And then he says, not that I've already obtained all this. Paul says, I don't have perfect knowledge, complete knowledge of Jesus Christ. And if anybody was going to have complete knowledge, we would think probably Paul or Peter. They wrote so much of the Bible. But Paul says, I don't have a complete knowledge of Jesus Christ. I don't have a complete understanding of the resurrection from the dead. I don't have a complete understanding of sharing in His sufferings, but that's what I want. That's what I want to attain to. I want to arrive and cross that finish line so that His nature is living in me more fully and expressively. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal. The goal he begins to talk about is seen later in the text. But there's a goal that he has in mind of getting to, arriving at, and crossing over. And he says, I press on to take hold of that for which Jesus Christ has taken hold of me. This verse is loaded with spiritual truths and principles that are so valuable and important to our Christian life. First of all, what Paul says is, look, Jesus Christ has took hold of me, and he has taken hold of you, and I in turn want to take hold of him, and you Philippian Christians should reach out and take hold of him as well. And all believers of all time, Christ has taken hold of you. Now reach out and make sure you're taking hold of him. Well, this word hold literally means to apprehend, to receive, and make your own. Now, Paul is talking about the fact that he has received Christ. He wants to make Christ his own in greater ways. He's not arrived, but that's the race for him. And he is running that race to know the Lord better. But brothers and sisters, the text says Christ has taken hold of believers. He has received the believer, the Christian, and what? Made them his own. And in turn, we reach and make Christ our own. We make him our very life. Do you remember what John said? Jesus came into the world, and the world didn't recognize him. They didn't receive him. They rejected him. But to those who, Lombano, received him, to those who took hold of him, they became children of God. Isn't that beautiful? He took hold of you in love and mercy and grace through his forgiveness and sacrifice on the cross. And in your life, you are living in this daily race to cling to him more dearly and let his presence and nature be reflected out of who you are because of the Spirit that God's put in you. You're different than the rest of people who don't know the Lord. You're different. He's your boast. He's who you worship. He's who you live your life for. He's your God. Your God isn't your stomach. Your glory is not the shame of the world. Your glory is in the one and only God. Jesus has taken hold of his children, and his children are to take hold of him and live for him daily. Paul says, that's my goal. It's a goal that we are in until the day that the Lord calls us home. Every morning when we get up, the race starts again. Are you running? You know, Paul says, we are running for a prize that doesn't perish, spoil, or fade. And all the things in this world, and all the medals in this world, and all the accomplishments in this world, and all the things we can point to and maybe boast about, Paul says, I have forgotten those things and put them behind me, because now I focus on Christ and Christ alone, and that is my brag and that's my boast. Is that your brag? Is that your boast? Have you taken hold of the Lord? I hope that you leave here today. Lord, I'm taking hold of you in a greater way today, now. I will live my life for you. I will be poured out like a drink offering on your altar in my sacrifice of service for you. That's what Paul is saying. That's the energy. That's the exertion of what he wants us to see. Hebrews 12:1, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So we have to pace ourselves. We can't just do a sprint. We got to pace ourselves. The race is an endurance race. But the race that we are in has been marked out in its course by God the Father. And it's a race that anybody can do, even if they don't have physical abilities. If you have your mind, it is a race to put greater faith in what you have received from God. Look at this. Later on in chapter 4, verse 13, what does Paul say? I can do all things through him who gives me strength, right? That's a favorite verse of everybody. But the context of that verse is this race and everything that Paul is telling the Christians to do in this race. And the point here is you're not in this race alone. You're not running this race in your own strength. Because if you're alone and in your own strength, you're not going to go very far at all. You're not going to make it to the destination. You will not arrive. But you and I, by the grace and goodness of God, through the Holy Spirit, is renewing our bodies and our minds and our spirits each and every day. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Isn't it good to know that when you're in this race that you are now in, that God is with you? And God is giving you the strength to go on. That's what's meant in Isaiah chapter 40 when he says, I will mount up on wings of eagles. I will run and not grow weary. Why? Because those who hope in the Lord, those who focus on God, he blesses and renews them constantly. And then he moves to verse 13 of Philippians 3, uses the term endearment we talked about 3 weeks ago. Brothers and sisters, I consider, and you see that word, I count as if, I count myself not to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. That was Paul's attitude and admonishment to Christians. I have forgotten my past in terms of viewing it in a self-righteous way. Remember, I was Hebrew of Hebrews, tribe of Benjamin. I was a Pharisee. All of that, Paul says, I've put that behind me because it could be distracting to me and it could get in the way of my run for the Lord. It could hinder me, and I could get tangled up in the arrogance and the self-righteous and my accomplishments. So I've got to forget that, because that only gives you a righteousness that doesn't come from God, but a righteousness that comes from the law. And I want the righteousness imputed into my life that is from God through Jesus Christ. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I want to say this to us all. This is the spiritual teaching of what it feels like emotionally and mentally to serve God in this race on a daily basis. He's already said, run as if you're going to try to win that prize. Now, the thing is, we're not racing each other like most races in the world. We're really racing against ourselves to make sure we stay in the lane of faith. But this straining, it is not easy to run, is it, Miss Aubrey? Well, in the faith arena, it's not always easy to live out faith. And when we do, sometimes it's difficult and exhausting just to do what the Lord wants us to do and be what the Lord wants us to be. But His Spirit is there, renewing and refreshing and counseling and cheering us on. Keep moving forward. Keep pushing in your faith. Keep running. Don't stop. You are on the course that God has set for you. You're not alone. Jesus is with you. Keep moving forward in faith. When you feel like giving up, don't give up. Keep moving forward. Strain, it's an exertion. It's an effort. It doesn't come just natural. It's not easy. Do you think this man that ran 3 days and nights straight, you think that was easy physically? Well, to live a life in faith to the Lord, honoring Him, can be challenging as well. But thanks be to our great God, we have Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit pushing us on. I press on. Literally, I'm running toward the goal to win the prize. There's that word prize again. What is the prize that you and I, the Philippian Christian, what is this prize that Paul is talking about specifically? I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, Paul said, in my life, the way I look at it, I've heard a voice from heaven. I've heard God the Father call my name. He's calling me heavenward. He's calling me to look to His face, to lift my eyes to the heavens and hear His voice. Patrick, keep going. LJ, don't give up. Rachel, hang in there. God is the one that has called us heavenward in Christ Jesus. And then he says this, verse 15. All of us, then, who are mature, should take such a view of things. Everything that he's just talked about. What does that remind you of? It's another way of saying what he said in chapter 1, verse 7. It's right for me to feel this way. You should feel this way. Now he's saying, you may feel differently, but at some point, if you keep in the right lane with God in faith, God's going to make it clear to you, but it is right that we feel this way, and the mature in Christ will have such a view. Just a different way of saying it. The fourth pillar of truth for the Christians in Philippi and for you and I by the Apostle Paul is press on and upward in faith. The old hymn, Higher Ground, I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining, climbing every day. That's what is being said here. That's where this hymn is actually written out of. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. There's that word attained, to cross, to arrive. Paul says there's a place that we have crossed and arrived. Well, what is that place? Well, he's made it clear back in the early part of chapter 3. Paul says, I want to be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ Jesus, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. We have that. We are declared righteous. It's a gift from God. Now let us live up to it. Let us honor it. Let us reflect it. Let us be it. And then he says, join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. Paul is getting ready to talk about people who are hostile to the cross of Jesus Christ. Do you remember what Jesus said to the disciples in John 16? When he tells them he's going to, John 14, going to be leaving? If the world hates me, the world's going to hate you. And I am telling you, brothers and sisters in the Lord, when we're out here running this race, we have to be relying on the strength of God. We have to really have a conviction that it is the Lord's race that He's called us to be a part of, and He is carrying us through it. And therefore, we're going to, on our part, do a purposeful run, and we're going to see it as an endurance run, one that we're faithful till the day that He calls us home, and we're going to be aware that there are some things that we need to really watch closely. And here, verse 17, you need to keep your eyes on people that are living this out to the degree that Paul says, in the example that I'm living for Christ, you need to be looking at me and gaining some encouragement in your life, and you need to follow that example. And you need to follow the example and do likewise of those who are living this out as a model before your very eyes. Because when you are with people that are boasting in the Lord and encouraging you to continue on in the faith, it's so helpful. Aubrey had a long list of replies to her statement. And they were great replies like, hang in there, girl. Keep going. Don't give up. You know, it's encouraging. We need to be there in that way, living a life where we're encouraging others to keep going. Put one foot in front of the other. Hey, you can strain a little bit more, Dave Hopkins. Come on, strain. Strain, you're doing it for the Lord. So we got to be aware of our surroundings in this race, and there are people that we look to and we want to follow their example and model as they are following Christ. But then there's people we got to be very aware of that we do not want to follow, that will get in our way and cause us to stumble. Listen to this. For as I have often told you before and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross. An enemy of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. An enemy to the man that lived a perfect, unblemished life and suffered, died, bled, and was nailed to the cross. There are people that are enemies of that idea and that man, Jesus Christ. Watch them. Watch them. Don't mimic them. Don't follow their example. Don't be pulled into it. Be on your guard. Just like he said, don't follow these Judaizers who are telling you that to have a relationship with God, you have to be circumcised and follow the law. Paul says they are just wrong. You follow those that preach faith in Jesus Christ. Be careful who you expose yourself to, because you can be tripped up in this race that you're running. For as often told you before, and now I tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross. Their destiny is their destruction. That's what's coming to them. Those that are enemies to Christ will be destroyed. Their God is their stomach. Now, it's not just talking about eating, it's talking about their nature is what they want. That's what they're going to do. And the Lord is not going to be their guide and master. And the things they find glory in is their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. To reach a point in life where a person's mindset and heart's devotion is on earthly things is the saddest place that anyone can live, because it leads to a destiny of destruction, self-centeredness, and doing shameful things and feeling good about it. That's a person who has their mind on earthly things. Paul says this regarding the people you got to watch out for in your life. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you? Who cut in? You know, in physical races, if you cut in front of somebody, they disqualify you because they trip you up, you fall down. Paul says, who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? You were running a good race. You were obeying the truth. You were going with the Lord and following His marked course. And then you let someone cut in on you and stop you from obeying the truth. That's why Paul, in this book of Philippians, which is fantastic, hammers away in all of these four chapters to say, it is right for me to tell you and to feel the reality that there is a gospel that saves, and you and I are in partnership with that gospel. It is a pillar and foundation of truth, and it should be a part of your life. In fact, it's necessary that you have that thought and feeling in your heart. And it's necessary and important for you to embrace the humility of Jesus Christ in your life, because Jesus was humble. He didn't consider equality with God something to use for His benefit. He humbled Himself, became a servant, came into this world in the flesh, and died, and even on a cross, which was a disgrace. He went from high to low for all as an example of His love for God and what you and I are called to be. Pillar truth number two that Paul preaches is embrace the humility of Christ. And last week, like Paul said, pillar of truth number three, put no confidence in the flesh. And pillar truth number four today, press on in the faith of Jesus Christ. You were running a good race. Something happened. Someone got into the way. Some idea. But someone cut in front of you, and they kept you from obeying the truth because you let them keep you from obeying the truth. They have that power and that persuasion only because you allow it. So be careful what you hear and listen to on the radio, whether it's song or music or teaching or preaching. Make sure that it is Christ-centered, gospel-centered, or you could be led astray. As he says here, that kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. Be on guard of the people running near you. Verse 20. He finally begins to move to what the prize is that he's talked about all along. But our citizenship is in heaven, so we don't focus on this world. This is probably harder for young people. Because, you know, when you're young, we all would say, you know, I was pretty focused on this world. The things I wanted to do, the things that I wanted to experience, the things that I want to get. You know, you're young. You got all these hopes, dreams, and plans, but the goal is that as we mature, we realize that we can enjoy the things that God blesses in this world that are good. But our focus is on the upward calling. Our home is in heaven. That's where we really belong. So this world is not the priority. And I'm telling you, when this world's your priority, it ends in disaster. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control, here's the prize, this is the ultimate prize, will transform our lowly bodies so that they, what? Will be like His glorious body. That's the prize. That is the prize. It's a picture of eternal life, but the prize is that this flesh that is wearing out is going to be discarded. And for those who cross the finish line in faith, arrive there, they're going to receive not a medal that no one cares about or will remember, but you're going to receive a glorious body. Brother Bill, you sit here today in a wheelchair, which tells me that your health isn't 100%. But when you cross the finish line in faith with Jesus Christ, my brother, you're going to get a glorious body. David Lowe, you've been through a lot, many years of sickliness and health. Latest amputation of your toe. You're not 100%. But when you cross the finish line in faith, you're going to receive a glorious body. Miss Edna DeLange, you have been faithful 80 plus years. And our bodies wear out. But when you cross the finish line, you're going to receive a glorious body. That's the prize. So in this life, let us run. Let us run for the Lord. Lord, give me the running ability of Elijah, who just outran everybody. Let us run for the Lord in our service and life of sanctification. God bless each and every one of you. Pillar of foundation number 4. Press on in faith in Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, as we wrap up this series, we just thank you for the insights that you gave Paul to the reality of our life and our situation. Lord, help us to have more faith. Help us not to be distracted by anything, O Lord. Help us to hear you calling our names and to press on, clinging to Jesus. It's in His name we pray. Amen.